Welcome to The Greatest, a production of iHeartRadio. Hello, and welcome to another episode of The Greatest. I am Megan Gailey, joined by my co-host and husband and quarantine hero, CJ Toledano. Hi, CJ. How are you?
I'm doing good. For some reason, and this is a tradition, I just feel like you're sarcastic when you say quarantine hero.
I wasn't being sarcastic at all. Oh my gosh, did you shave?
I did shave.
Wow, I just looked at your face.
Listen, I like to not shower or do anything in the morning so I can get right to work. And then I work out whenever I can, and then I shave and I shower at 3 p.m.
I mean, I don't mean to give away your secrets, but I don't think right to work is an hour and a half of TikTok videos in the morning.
That's work. And I feel like our guest would agree.
Oh, okay. Wow. I guess I'm outnumbered here. Joining us today. Oh, I'm so excited. We met working at the NFL on the checkdown together. If you are a fan or have seen, even if you don't like it, you may not. It may be because of me and not her. Well, I was going to bring up the bubble machine.
Oh, I thought you were going to say don't like the checkdown.
No, you're not. No,
sorry.
No, you were gone. You made it, and then we perfected it, and then we both left.
We both left. Nice.
So, our guest today, producer of the bubble machine, does all of the incredible graphics, fun little. Oh, look, Megan's lost her mind. All those great things, and the founder of Pink Deer. Please welcome Heather Pink.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me. It was way too nice of an introduction.
Are you kidding me?
FYI.
No. That's what we like to give people. Now, Heather, how long were you at the NFL?
Almost 8 years.
Oh, my God.
It felt like a decade. Truly felt like a decade. But yeah, it was almost 8 years. I produced the show NFL Fantasy Live that was on NFL Network, still is. I produced that for a couple years before I started to dabble in social. And at the time, no one was controlling the NFL Fantasy handles. And there was one person working in social there. And I asked my boss to help out. And she said, as long as you can do it on top of producing, I don't really care.
Wow.
And that kind of started the train that is this, I guess. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in between.
So you were the producer on The Checkdown and then left to create Pink Deer.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us, I know some of the clients you work with, and if you've signed any NDAs, you don't have to break them, but you do really cool stuff with athletes, and you're still very much in the sports world since leaving the NFL.
I actually just signed a new comedian, too.
Wow.
Paul Scheer.
Whoa.
Yeah. Whoa, heck yeah.
Okay. You were going to say some loser. That's an A-list. That's A-list.
Yeah.
He's really great to work with. Yeah. You know, we started the company trying to take, like, all the lessons we learned from the NFL, which actually, like, we learned, even though it's from football, it could spread beyond every single genre or industry, you know?
Mm-hmm.
When we started, we had fitness clients and this and that. But what we really wanted to do is work with influencers on their content strategy, helping to sort of bridge what they're doing with brands, because oftentimes brands have this like old or like stoic version of how campaigns should be,
mm-hmm.
but also work with corporate clients or small businesses, get up to speed, or individuals like CEOs. And from a corporate standpoint, we help either onboard teams or sort of bridge the gap between the upper management and also the social media managers. But oftentimes, we always find ourselves in sports. Rhyme or reason, but we've been lucky to not have to be 100% sports.
No, yeah. I feel like me and you can nerd out on it, but now it feels like what was a few years ago when people were like social, that's sort of like supplemental marketing, or, you know, kind of like, if you want, it's like a bonus way to market yourself or get yourself out there. And now, I mean, social media is the norm. And that's, you know, people aren't waiting for them to appear on TV or anything. It's just like we have access to these celebrities and athletes and brands at all times. And so now, you know, they call on people like yourself to like, hey, what do I look like on every platform?
And you.
Yeah.
I mean, let's make that clear. And you too.
Well, I mean, I am just, I'm a baby in this. You've been doing this and I'm like, and now I'm like the things that Megan is asking, I'm like, all right, I'm writing this down for my company. But yeah, no, it's awesome that you also have like, you know, the TV producing skill set and then now social, because yeah, there's so many things you pull from that you're now doing for social that I think, you know, this is really the future, the stuff that we do.
Yeah. I never knew that producing TV or something like fantasy football a couple times a week, I never knew how invaluable that would be to me in social media. And I didn't realize it then when I started working more into it and I would meet people that, oh, I, you know, I'm a social media manager. Like, well, how do you create the content? They're like, oh, well, I get it handed from the marketing department. I'm like, that's not, like my mind blew. And like, mm-hmm. when I started working in social more and more, I realized that like what the assets that me and my business partner have is something that like not a lot of people have. They don't know how to create content and then know how to execute it. And mm-hmm. creating the content is the battle, you know? And I never knew that. And I mean, it's purely because of the NFL producing and grinding and learning actually what is good content. But granted, that does not always translate to social.
Yeah.
Like knowing what the difference is super important.
Yeah.
You guys are smart. You're really smart.
No.
You're really smart.
I mean, on another, we'll do another podcast, but I, you know, and I said that it's awesome that you did TV and then social. I really hate a trend that I hate so much. And I tell a lot of people, coworkers or whatever, when a TV person is hired as a higher up or a leadership position that has never touched social because they think like, oh, TV is so premium that they're going to like, this is easy for them. And it's infuriating. And I think it's a huge issue in our field. But from the sounds of it, and obviously from, you know, working with Megan, I can tell like you knew about that transition. You knew what to pick and choose from your old world into the new world.
You know, I was the one, I won't name drop anybody, but let's say on a show like NFL Total Access, and it's what they would call their primitive stages of social mm-hmm. media, which granted were not primitive stages of social media. They'd be like, let's just throw it to social. Let's just throw it up on social. I'm like, mm-hmm. that's not how this works.
Yeah.
Like, who's telling you this? Like, let's just throw it up there. I'm like, and you want to just throw, you know, like stuff against the wall and see if it breaks? Like, I'm confused. Like, what do you think is going to happen?
Yeah.
So, you know, and there still is a huge misconception of that. But oftentimes I was the one being like, do you actually know what that means in that building? You know, and oftentimes it leads you to other opportunities like I got, but oftentimes you get, you know, butt heads. Well, I don't care. We need to put it up there. I'm like, mm-hmm. okay, you can see how it fails.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I was infuriated by the same exact thing.
CJ,
and it still infuriates me.
CJ loves to watch things fail on the internet.
No, I don't.
That he, no, not that I'm saying things that you were like, this is going to fail. And then when it does fail, he's like, me.
I mean, I get a little petty for sure. I'm not the smartest person in the world, but it just, you know, social media is not new. It's like the new normal, I guess, with a lot of people are like coming to terms with it or like figuring it out. But like, there are some classic mistakes that are just so obvious that are still being done in a lot of these things.
Yeah, like dum-dums like me. Like
no,
I do dumb
you.
Dumb things all the time.
No.
Well,
and sometimes
I mean,
it just truly doesn't matter when huge corporations or channels or networks mm-hmm. do make those mistakes because, you know, these companies are always going to, they've been in prominence for so long. So anyways, that's very nerdy talk for.
Oh, I loved it. Okay, so the Super Bowl is set. Bucks,
shocker.
Chiefs. If you would have told me Bucks, Chiefs at the beginning of the year, I would have gone, I don't. Like, I mean, the season, I just, it wouldn't have moved me and it doesn't move me now.
I mean, when we were doing the bubble machine, you made a comment about how very grumbly about the Colts making the Super Bowl. I mean, and they, like, to be fair, they got pretty close.
Thank
like,
you. I mean, thank you, CJ. See, my delusions.
You were like dogging them, but yet at the same time, you still like believed in them.
That's what you have
to do. You had just the like disdain of reality.
Yes.
Of like, well, they're like 0-2. Was it 0-2? Did they start?
No, we lost to the Jaguars in the opening game, and they did turn out to be the worst team. And so, yeah, that's a tough pill to
swallow.
That's
a learning loss, though.
That's swallowing a bullet. Well, it did end up kind of fucking our seeding for the playoffs, so we learned that you shouldn't do that. I guess that's what we learned.
Try to win every game is...
Okay.
I'm just happy to not watch Aaron Rodgers in a Super Bowl.
Oh my gosh. Here come the Bears haters. Okay. I was trying to pick fights with Bears fans all day yesterday. Y'all are so mad at Aaron Rodgers when who you really need to be mad at is your own organization.
First of all, you don't need to tell me this. I am the biggest Pace hater on the planet. Like, honestly, I'm like the least loyal Bears fan, only in the sense that I just want them to clean house. Mm-hmm. Let's just sweep it clean, get rid of Nagy. I have no faith, no loyalty in it. Like, I have no problem dogging on that team because they deserve it.
But did you say you want to replace Mitch?
Yeah. I think you want to get rid of everybody but the defense.
Yeah, okay.
I like Nick Foles. I have no problem with Nick Foles. I thought that if we actually had Nick Foles in that playoff game against the Eagles, we would have won.
Yeah.
Like, they just, it's really the coaching. Like, the head coach is a moron. I mean, you stick anybody else in there and they'll do a better job than him.
And there's a lot of NFL head coaches that are morons. And that is something that we really need to know. I mean, because I get mad at Colts fans. They're always like, fire Frank Reich. And I'm like, you don't know who else is out there. And like, it's not good. So the options, it's not Bill Cowher coming out of retirement. Like, that's not what's going to happen. And some of these markets need to get it through their brains that, like, you're not going to get a premier coaching candidate. That's not what and, like, yes, you can, you know, the conversation is obviously happening about, like, how are there not more Black head coaches and how are there not more Black head coaches even just being interviewed for those positions? And it's like, because a lot of these people are promoted within, and once they have the job, they keep the job because someone else they know is bad at their job. And they're like, hey, I'm not going to fire you at being a bad special teams coordinator. And so then when it comes around, when that special teams coordinator is the head coach, like, it's just a cycle of shittiness that feeds itself.
But I'd have to argue that one of the best coaches I think that's ever coached is Mike Tomlin, you know? And like, I don't know what your feelings are about Mike Tomlin, but
they're
not
great.
Yeah, Megan, your face.
I think if he was our head coach, I would be thrilled. I think Tony Dungy is an incredible coach. I think Jim Caldwell is a great coach.
I was just talking about Tony Dungy the other day, and I was thinking about you because I was watching the other game. This is totally off topic. I'm watching the game the other week. And I used to love at the NFL watching that pre-Sunday Night Football game with Tony Dungy. And who was the other guy?
Rodney Harrison.
They've been working together for how many years? And they have zero chemistry. It is like watching paint dry when they talk. And it was borderline hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, dude, you've been working with the same guy for literally 5 years. How is there no chemistry?
Mm-hmm. And they
both have chemistry with Tarico, though. You know,
One of my friends I was watching with was like, oh, this guy is awful. I was like, well, he's one of the best. Like,
he does just loves Jesus a lot. He just he loves Jesus, and that's his thing.
From a programming standpoint, though, isn't the Sunday night pregame classically when everyone takes their break from watching football all day, goes on a walk, picks up dinner, and then it's just like, I feel like you tune in midway through the first quarter and you're like, that's when you're locked in. So it almost seems strategic that the worst pregame duo is in
but
that
it's
spot.
The best game of the week, you know? So it's
some
like,
of the choices this season, that was not the case.
It's definitely better than Monday night. Okay, yeah. I bring all of this up because our topic today is greatest Super Bowl. And I'd like to get a tally of how many Super Bowls have been attended within us three. Heather, how many Super Bowls did you go to?
Five.
Wow. CJ, you have been to
one.
And I have been to two games, three like cities. So two for me. So we have a total of 8 Super Bowls between the three of us.
That's
I feel like we are a
sickening.
Very accomplished and studied people to be talking about this particular topic.
Yeah, I felt better about this than playoff games because at the NFL, we were like chained to our desk for like every single game except for the Super Bowl, which you still had to work. There was only one game, one Super Bowl that I did not have to work of the five I went to, which was the best one, in my opinion, because of course, you know.
Yeah, you got to have fun.
But yeah, there were some things like when we were texting about it that I realized. So every time you go to a Super Bowl, when you're like at the NFL, afterwards you get to go to a convention center and eat, and then you watch the game over again if you want to stay or whatever. Mm-hmm. And whoever I brought, we would watch the halftime performance. And oftentimes, a lot of the stuff that you know you see at a game, you don't like you don't see at the game, but you see it on camera. And that happened so much. Mm-hmm. So
now the Super Bowl is notoriously a bad game. Because it's, you know, it's usually it's very overhyped.
We do that to ourselves, though.
Yeah, I guess we do it to ourselves. It's teams that don't necessarily have any rivalry whatsoever. Like, part of what made that Browns-Steelers game so fun this year was, like, they're divisional rivals. They've already played twice. They hate each other. Like, truly, one player on one team almost murdered another player on another team last year. So, like, there is true, like... hatred there, true rivalry. And with these NFC-AFC matchups, there's not that. Also, the fans that are at the games, at the Super Bowls, are not diehard fans. It's like Canadian businessmen and then me and then like whoever and Patriots fans that can afford the tickets, basically. Like, oh gosh, we would like meet people at the Super Bowl. They're like, this is my 10th Super Bowl. It's like, fuck you. You shouldn't get to come. Why don't
those are our friends.
Why don't you let less fortunate Patriots fans come? It's just the same Patriots fans coming over and over again.
I always was a little bitter about, and granted, I was only there once, but also just hearing from my friends and former coworkers that the people who, and they worked hard all season, but for some reason don't work real time or in game, and then they're just like hanging out in the press box and really enjoying that moment. Like, they were there for the week just to like kind of like, you know, cross T's, dot I's, whatever.
But it's a perk of the job. Yeah, let's just say that's why you're there.
But I didn't want to wear a suit and do and cram into my row and just clip from Clip Pro highlights and stuff. That was a little, I was like, man, maybe this could have been better at the hotel and then I'll go there. But
yeah,
still great.
Okay, so we're breaking down greatest Super Bowl of all time. When it's my turn, I'll tell you the limitations I put on my choices. But Heather, as our guest, we would love for you to kick it off with your number three pick.
Number three.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is going to sound crazy. Megan, don't hate me for this.
I would never.
Okay. So secretly, I am actually also a Titans fan. Mm-hmm. Because I grew up watching Eddie George kick every team's ass in the, I don't know if I can say that, in the Big Ten.
I've said fuck 10 times.
I hate Ohio State so much, like every other person in the Midwest, but I just...
She went to
U of I, Illinois. And if anyone comes at me, I swear to God.
What about, I'm a Purdue friend. We've got no beef.
You are Purdue. I know, but everyone's like, U of I can't. I can't.
Okay.
It gets me too riled up.
All right. Okay.
So my number three is actually Super Bowl 34 between the Rams and the Titans. And it was it's part because it was sort of when I fell in love with football, but also because like, I think it's one of the best Super Bowls of all time. Mm-hmm. And I like don't love Kurt Warner. Like he was just like to me, but I thought that Titans offense, defense, like the defense was so much fun to watch.
Yeah.
It was nasty, but like not like Ndamukong Suh nasty,
right.
But like, you know, I'm going to go. I mean, literally, Kurt Warner got his ass beat, like play after play. If you go and watch the highlights, you'll literally see him like every play in the first half. He just gets his ass beat. And then everyone kind of remembers at the very end to remind people that basically the game is tied. And towards the end, Kurt Warner, you know, throws a touchdown. Titans have to drive towards the end. And then there's the famous stretch. I mean, for me, it doesn't get... Every time I go to a Super Bowl, like people ask me like, oh, you know, it's Tampa Bay versus the Chiefs. I just root for a good game every time. Like that is all I want. Like, I do not want to watch another Rams-Patriots Super Bowl.
No.
I would rather watch paint dry and sit and drink by myself for 3 hours.
That Rams Patriot one, because we all knew exactly what was going to happen. And then it happened and it felt like it was worse than we all expected.
Well, and it also, we all live in LA and no one in LA cared. And so it was no one did. So it was like, you guys, that was the Super Bowl that I was at professionally and then didn't go to the game. And I flew home.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. I flew home Sunday morning. They just didn't send me.
Happy to be home.
I flew home Sunday morning and I was like, I'm glad I did not need to stay an extra day, be annoyed by every... I mean, this is going to sound very champagne problems. Traveling to and from the Super Bowl can be complicated. You can get stuck there. It's millions of people converging onto one city that maybe can't handle it.
So this is... Okay, this is where the Super Bowl stories come. I'll say this.
Oh, I love
these. My first Super Bowl was in New York. It was the New York Super Bowl with... Mm-hmm. Seahawks Broncos, and I was working. I had to like work the whole game because I wasn't full time, and so because I was working, I got on like the NFL buses, and I literally like they say like get the fuck out of there as soon as the game's over with. So yeah. I got out. Literally, the bus is next to the exit, but everyone that you know was there all week, the executives, blah blah blah. You know, if you're in New York, the game was out in Jersey, so everyone piled into the train. And I was seeing pictures from my friends of it being wall to wall. And then on top of that, it literally, I think it snowed 10 inches within hours of the game being done. Hours. So everyone not only stuck in New York and or like everyone was like 3 hour delay all day. Like it was nasty.
That's a difficult stadium to get to and from. When it's not the Super Bowl. Okay, so Heather, your number three pick was actually my number two pick.
That was my number two pick, too.
So I do have some info. The final score ended up being 23-16 with the Rams winning. The Rams were up 16-0 at one point, and the Titans came back. At that time, it was the largest Super Bowl deficit to, like, overcome, even though they didn't end up winning. And the performers, Faith Hill... performed the national anthem. Woo! And then the half... I love Faith Hill.
Anytime you... Tim McGraw, Faith Hill, let's go.
The halftime show was Phil Collins, Christina Aguilera, Enrique Iglesias, Tony Braxton, Edward James Olmos. What's his name?
Olmos, yeah. What was he doing?
I don't know. This is like...
Phil Collins?
This is the wild... Phil Collins, Christina Aguilera, and Enrique Iglesias, Tony Braxton.
That's star-studded.
But it's very...
But Edward James Olmos sounds like a joke.
It's like when we went to see that Impressions show in Vegas, and it was it was Michael Jackson.
Elvis and then Marilyn Monroe.
And then Janis Joplin.
I know what I'm watching as we're done with this podcast.
How is Janis Joplin here? So that's the vibe. But yeah, this was a great...
It was also similar to you, Heather. It was like the first Super Bowl as a kid that I wasn't just like at my parents' friend's party. Mm-hmm. Like I was into the game. I mean, I was playing at the time, but I like cared about it. And I remember my one detail from it was that they kept talking about Kurt Warner's, like, he worked in a grocery store. That's what I love. And, you know, people joke about, like, your Super Bowl bingo card, what the announcers talk about. I feel like that was brought up 50 times. Mm-hmm. This guy used to work in a grocery store, and then they continue to do that through his career. And it's like, no, he's been a quarterback for a while. But yeah, that was that's my memory of it.
Steve McNair, rest in peace.
Yeah.
Truly. The play has been called 1 yard short, the tackle. It's referenced in Castaway. If you remember at the very end, he's been gone so long. And she's like, we have a football team and they almost won the Super Bowl. Like, that's how long.
These tidbits are fire.
I just remember the Castaway one from my dumb little dome.
I love Castaway.
Podcast. I'll look it up so I can tell you guys. The Steve McNair podcast.
It is phenomenal.
It is so good. And they need to reopen the case. I am a firm believer that he was not murdered by his mistress.
Wow.
I think something else was happening. There's
former true crime podcast.
Nashville PD that believes that. Steve McNair's family does not believe he was killed by the mistress.
There was some shady shit.
A lot of shadiness. Reopen it.
They, like, when they first had the case, I think they closed it with, that podcast, I remember saying they closed the case within like 72 hours, which is like a record for like any murder.
Yeah.
But for Steve McNair, it's like, okay, yeah. Let's just mask the shadiness even more.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's very much missed. I think he would be such an incredible voice and leader for today's players and everything. I think he would just be important to hear from.
Were there, in terms of black quarterbacks in the Super Bowl,
Donovan McNabb?
Before?
I don't know. No, I mean, this was
2000.
This was 2000.
No, this is before that. This was before. Yeah. This was before, right before Vic, too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I have to do some checking, but yeah, it seems like maybe one of the earlier black quarterbacks in the Super Bowl. I mean, yeah, Steve McNair is a legend.
Yeah. Pretty boring game until the second half.
That's what it always feels like. And that's why we should ban our friends saying this is over. I mean, all the ones we're probably going to mention here, it's not over.
Just wait till you get to my number two Super Bowl pick.
Hall of Famers from that game for the Rams: Isaac Bruce, Marshall Faulk, Orlando Pace, and Kurt Warner. For the Titans:
Eddie George, Mike Munchak,
and Bruce Matthews. It says current future Hall of Famers. They don't have
Eddie George
on there, but I find that surprising. I find it. I guess maybe not Steve McNair. Okay, so obviously an incredible first pick by Heather. It was on CJ and my list as well. CJ, you want me to go next?
Yeah, you go. Okay. And then there's going to be overlap per use.
Yeah.
But it's great. I like when we all tag in.
I'm physically not going to be able to pick one where it's the Patriots winning. So I have no Patriot victorious Super Bowls. It's just, I make the rules. Listen, I make the rules of what the greatest is. It's our podcast and they make me fucking furious and sad. So they're not on my list. And then I know there's ones from like, back in the day, Joe Namath, and it's just like I don't know the context fully.
I know.
So I did relatively recent ones, but I understand that Terry Bradshaw is amazing. I understand all these things, but I didn't see it, so it's hard for me to like know. So with all that said, my number three is Super Bowl 52. And that is Eagles Patriots. That was the one I got to go to because CJ was working
Philly
at the
special.
NFL. Yeah. So Nick Foles, just a lot of amazing storylines. We have a backup quarterback. The Eagles were such a long shot. It felt like going into that game, it was like they're happy to be here. Like that was the vibe in Minneapolis. And I'd also like to be on record of saying Minneapolis, so many lovely people, fun food. I hope you never host a Super Bowl again. It's so fucking cold. It snowed. It's too cold. You can't, it's not okay. Enough with the cold weather cities. And I know Indianapolis had one, but I don't consider us super, super cold. It was warm. The Indianapolis hosted one. That's the possibility. Minnesota in February should not host an event. That's just common sense. No. Pissing me off.
I walked out of the like DirecTV party and like J-Lo was performing the night before the Super Bowl and it was like -6 outside. My dad who came with me, he picked me up from where I was. He's like, man, it's fucking cold outside. Yeah. And literally my thighs actually took an hour to thaw out.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, it was freezing. And it's your dad's from Chicago. It's not even like he flew up from Miami. Like that's how we all felt too. But a lovely job nonetheless.
Well, I will say the one upside about that Super Bowl, one, it's the only one I've ever been to, but I love a good mall. And this is the biggest mall. I mean, it's the biggest, the Mall of America. I liked having to go there to shuttle there every day.
No.
I'm with you on that.
The Mall
one.
Of America is not downtown. It's like the Mall of America is in a suburb. No, thank you. I don't need to be in a suburb for the Super Bowl. That's bullshit. Give me some. It's like when the Real Housewives are poor. It's like, this is not what I want. Okay. I want like some prestige happening. So I had this one as my number three. I was on it. It was great. It was a very entertaining game. Like high scoring. The final score ended up being 41-33. That's very high for a Super Bowl. Take the under, honestly, if you're betting. And there were fun storylines. There was a trick play. Brady had a failed Hail Mary at the end. Like it came down to the last second. And that so rarely happens. And in the stadium, there was just absolute joy. Like you were a Patriots fan or you were everyone else and everyone else was rooting for the Eagles. And so there was energy in there. Like, my dad was wearing a Colts jersey, dying for the Eagles, you know, like, obviously, like, going so over the top for them. So it's like, that's how everybody felt. Like, there was a woman from Orange is the New Black sitting in front of us in Giants gear. She's rooting for the Eagles. That's a division rival. Like, we just all wanted to see something different. And then we got it. And the Nick Foles, very, very Cinderella story. It had like a March Madness vibe to it almost. And, yeah, I think it was a very entertaining game. And I feel like people at home watching it agree.
The only thing that sucked the air out of the stadium was Justin Timberlake's halftime performance.
Yes.
Wow. So I never revisited it. And yeah, I felt like it was bad in person. But I was like, this is because I can't see it.
No,
but
it was bad.
It's not memorable.
It was bad. But the national anthem was Pink. And I mean, she killed it, of course.
She murdered it.
So I forgot this in the first one we were discussing, which was the year 2000. Cost for a 30-second commercial in that Super Bowl was $1.9 million. I'll go back to it. Cost for a 30-second commercial in 2018, $5 million.
Wow.
So there you go. That's inflation there. And Minnesota, thank you. And I will never be back in the winter.
Speaking of the cost, I can't remember. I think it's a beer company who is foregoing making like an entertaining commercial.
It's Budweiser. Budweiser's not.
Wow.
You know, I've seen lots of jokes about how the Bucks and Chiefs, we've kind of, you know, they know about Budweiser at this point, but they're doing it to
vaccine awareness, which I'm interested in seeing what that is. But that's cool and nice on the surface.
I'll take
that. We'll see what it turns out to be.
Ooh, the estimated,
if it's the horses doing it, that'd be interesting.
Estimated viewership for the 2018 Super Bowl was 103.4 million people.
Yeah.
That's a lot. That's a lot of people. Okay, so that's my number three pick. CJ, you go ahead.
All right. Well, I got to admit, my Super Bowl history is pretty bad. So I feel like there will be some overlap. So I do apologize in advance if I pick some that you guys have chosen. So my number three is going to be Super Bowl 42. Giants Patriots, that first one, just because, yeah, Patriots going into that last game undefeated. Again, people.
Well, this
thought,
is the Tyree catch, right? Yeah,
this is the Tyree.
That's your
catch.
Number three.
This is my number three.
You're wilded.
I think it's more just on a personal stance of I wasn't paying attention that much. Like I came in like to the playoffs. That's when I started watching, and then the narrative was Patriots got this. They were comparing them to the Dolphins or whatever. And Eli, too, I think had a lot of criticism, not as good as his brother. And yeah, they were complete underdogs. I think they were 10-6 going into the game.
Yeah.
And
they had to win like six games in a row and actually the Giants and Patriots played week 16, or I guess it was week 17. They played the final regular season game and the Giants were already in. Coughlin played all the starters and they narrowly lost. But you have to imagine now looking back, it's like, they for sure learned some things going into that.
Like everyone was saying like, like when Brady was facing Breeze, like, Breeze is 2-0. I'm like, that doesn't mean shit in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, like if anything, that makes me think that Brady's for sure going to win.
Due.
If you're going to keep talking about it.
Well, that's what
but
I feel
CJ,
like.
I was,
yeah. No, go ahead.
I was debating about this because I went back and forth between both Giants-Patriots Super Bowls just because I actually liked the other one a little bit more. But then I was like, the Tyree catch, something that's super iconic. But I just always felt like, no matter who, Odell Beckham Jr. was the best wide receiver Eli Manning had ever had. Every single other wide receiver, including every single one that was in both Super Bowls, Jamokes. They're just
Plaxico.
And yet he still made it work.
Yeah.
Plaxico.
Very soft spot for Plaxico. Listen, if you shoot yourself in your own leg.
We feel bad for sure.
I have to be your fan. I have to. And if you shoot yourself in your own leg and then you go on Celebrity Wife Swap, I'm a fan for life.
Yeah.
That's all I can
see
say.
That, you can see why we're attracted to certain players is because of their post-reality show careers.
I mean, speaking of this upcoming Super Bowl, every time Jason Pierre-Paul does anything, I'm like, how? He blew his hand off with a firework.
You don't need fingers to play
here.
Football, Megan.
And I think he didn't blow his hand off. He ended up like sort of mangling some fingers. But a true success story to just from fireworks
also,
to the Super Bowl.
I think JPP was in the Super Bowl against Brady the second time they played.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. As a Giant.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
he, I see, I'm like,
I don't,
go ahead.
I don't want to go into great depth on your third pick because I know that it will be coming up later. But thank you for submitting your pick.
What? What are you talking?
Well, I'm just saying that's
what you're doing now.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it right now because we're going to talk about it later.
Oh, okay. That's I thought you were just like thanking me for doing homework.
No, I think you did a great job. I just don't want to go into great detail or else I'm going to have nothing else to talk about.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Okay,
let's take a quick break and then we'll be right back. Okay, and we are back. What? He's really freaking laughing at me.
I think Heather was that interested. I just didn't know if we were like thanking each other for each other's picks like very formally after.
Oh, okay. Well,
it was
just
different. Like we're like 45 deep on this thing and that was new. And it was fun.
Well, listen, baby, part of what keeps love cranking is doing new stuff.
Doing new fresh podcast techniques.
Yeah, that's how we keep it fresh in the bedroom. We keep it fresh on the podcast.
All right.
Okay, Heather, give us your number two pick.
I don't know if this is controversial. I think partially it is, and I struggled with this one, was Super Bowl 51, Patriots versus Falcons. Like, I'm so sorry, Falcons fans. I know.
Oof.
I think mostly because I went with my sister, and it was one of my favorite Super Bowls, and we watched Lady Gaga. Mm-hmm. But before Lady Gaga got on, she's like, hey, should we just leave after Lady Gaga's done? And because the Patriots were down by so much.
Yeah.
It was not on paper, not a good game.
No.
Like, oh, Lord. I mean, if you're a Patriots fan, for sure. I mean, and also greatest Super Bowl comeback in history, I believe.
It is that.
It is that. Like, you know, but my sister said that. I said, Tom Brady is never going to be done. Like, he is going to make it to the last second, which is exactly what he did. I think in this game, Julio Jones and Edelman had ridiculous catches.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like, the bonkers, like, and I think that's what I love about some of these games, like some of the best is that you've seen catches that you truly you've never seen before. Like there are like a once in a season type of catches. And we saw that in this game. So
this was number one for me.
Oh, sorry.
No, I'm going to say this too.
No, you go.
Just about Patriots, because we do a lot of Patriots hating. We do a lot of Tom Brady hating. But like, again, like last night really solidifies it for me. One of the greatest athletes, like, and as a huge Jordan fan in this room, see a lot of Jordan things, but like, if he wins it, I won't debate people if they say Tom Brady is better than Michael Jordan. It's like seven Super Bowls, 10 visits. And in this game, especially, like, just when people talk about like talent, skill, like clock utilization, every single second. I mean, sure, he needs to be like credit taken away for wasting a lot of quarters, but like that was the most masterful thing I've ever seen, that comeback.
And a lot of, I think the analysis after was like, how did the Falcons let this happen? There's that image of Arthur Blank like down on the sidelines celebrating. Some blame does go on. I mean, there was a collapse. Yeah. They had a collapse in the Super Bowl, which is almost unforgivable. Dwight Freeney was on that team, so it's like, it's sad.
Sorry.
But no,
politically,
I mean,
it's sad.
No, why I hate that game is because it felt very representative of the 2016 election to me for like whether that makes sense or not. I just was like, oh, Hillary's the favorite. She's gonna win. The matchup is clear. And then, you know, you watch it fall apart and you're like, oh, okay, that didn't happen. And then we see the Falcons beating this like known Trump supporter and it felt good. And so then when it started to fall apart, a lot of election night memories came flooding back. I also was watching that Super Bowl at the same place I watched the 2016 election results come in. And I told this couple who has now since broken up, sadly, I told them I will never come to your house ever again. I hate it here and I would burn it to the ground if I could.
No, I can't argue with that. a little bit seems personal, but no, I agree. It was a little bit like, and this is what makes Tom Brady so good, is that I think he does embrace the villain role, but yeah, it just is like, I was, as a sports fan, I'm happy that I got to witness that, even though I was rooting for the Falcons.
I'm happy I got to witness it in person.
Yeah.
I,
mm-hmm.
I'm happy for you too.
I don't, I don't hate it because here's the thing is I mean, I know you guys are Lakers fans. I'm not a huge LeBron fan personally, but also I'm a lifelong Chicago Bulls fan. Any Chicago Bulls fan that is really a Chicago Bulls fan will understand my disdain for him. But I respect how amazing he is. And for Tom, I don't like him. I don't like necessarily dislike him. I first of all, kudos to him for getting Giselle as a wife. Like, I mean, anyone that like, but the fact that he was able to come in this season on a new team, convinced Gronk to stop doing reality TV show, like mm-hmm. The Masked Singer, and come back to playing football. And like, the Buccaneers were kind of like an okay team. Like, they had really good talent on defense a little mm-hmm. bit here and there.
Mike Evans is good.
He's
great.
So rare for a first year sort of team like that, to bring it all together and to make it as far as he did. Like, CJ, I second that, because I think that what he did this year solidifies it a little bit even mm-hmm. more so than some of the years past for him. Like, even if he doesn't win, I think that what he did this season is enough.
He's the GOAT. I just don't like him.
Can I survey you guys? Because, I mean, everyone's always like, yeah, Brady over Jordan or whatever. But that's, like, not the debate in my head or the question. Like, to me, I mean, everyone's like, you know, in terms of, was it Belichick's system or is Tom Brady that good? To either of you guys, does this answer that question at all? Or was it completely team effort both times? And like, Bruce Arians is a great coach.
I think I saw people being like, well, this discredits Belichick. It's like, I don't think that at all. I think Bill Belichick is, again, I don't like him, but I think he's an incredible coach. And I think he actually is a football genius. And I mean that because he can look at the rules and go, how do I play within those rules without breaking them? And that is a unique mind. I think it was both of them.
Yeah, I think, you know, you can only set up a system for success. Man, I think that it really took both of them to, you know, to be as legendary. I think that just Tom Brady's magic is different. You know, Tom Brady can make a James White be a Super Bowl MVP. Mm-hmm. Like, in what world do we live? Like, at that time when that happened, I was like, what the fuck is happening? Like,
yeah.
Like, Brady did all the work, or, you know, and I thought that was the NFL's way of saying, fuck you, you're not getting the MVP, Brady. Because mm-hmm. it was mostly Brady that did the work. I think it was 2 passing touchdowns and a running touchdown for James White. I can't remember. But, like, the fact that he can make that guy a Super Bowl MVP, because Brady did that. Mm-hmm. Like, that to me, Belichick, awesome coach, revolutionary, and mm-hmm. both people are revolutionary. I just think that Brady's magic is different because he just can make normal people look amazing.
Yeah.
And
that's a Jordan quality as well.
That's a every great player quality. Iggy with the Warriors at 1 year finals MVP, it's like, you know, that was that team.
But I think I think Belichick can take a loser and make them good too. Like, I think he has that. They both have whatever that, like,
not quite this year,
special stuff is. Well, that's true.
But maybe COVID.
That's what happens when you have Cam Newton as a quarterback.
Wow.
So you need to give him a break.
I love Cam. We love Cam over here. Okay. So my number one and my number two have already been discussed. So I've decided to pick a different number two, if that's okay with everybody. And I think you're going to find it shocking that this was not originally on my list. And this is Super Bowl. What's XLI?
It was a Colts. Are you using the Colts Bears?
Yeah.
First of all, why is this not number one, Megan? You need shame.
Well, because
for this. Like, truly,
it's not number one because it wasn't a great game. Like, it was
horrible.
It was
horrible.
Pouring rain.
Started off.
Well, that's a matter of perspective. It started off with a kickoff return for a touchdown. And I guess maybe that's the most exciting thing that almost happened. And
it
then
was.
And it also set up like, oh shit, the Colts are in trouble. And then they won. So I guess there was like a little bait and switch that happened. First black coach to win a Super Bowl and was going against Lovie Smith. It was the first time a black coach had been in the Super Bowl, and we had 2 of them, and they were very good friends. And I think that was extremely moving and beautiful to see. First Super Bowl that Peyton won, first one that he went to. So there's a lot of Hall of Famers in that game. Not a lot from the Bears side, but a lot from the Colts side when it's all said and done. And yeah, I'm very happy they won, and it goes down as one of the greatest and most drunk days of my life. I was thrown out of a bar.
It was also one of the drunkest days of my life because of how horrible the Bears played. I mean, yeah. But here's the thing is like, we got that far with Rex Grossman. Like,
yeah,
vomit, gross. Okay. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, it just can serve like how good a defense can really get you, but also a defense can only get you so far. Mm-hmm. So
Reggie Wayne was open on a 53-yard touchdown reception. And so the Bears defense is incredible, has always been incredible, but something the Bears covers the cover two scheme, like the Colts just had too many weapons for that to shut them down.
I mean, they were like, to be honest with you, I think Peyton Manning played like ass that
Dominic
game.
Rhodes and was the MVP. Dominic Rhodes.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
All three Super Bowls that Peyton Manning has been in, he's played like ass. Like,
yeah. I think he's been in four.
Literal.
Two with the Broncos, two with the Colts.
Two with the Broncos or just one in the Broncos?
I'm not remembering. Yeah, he lost one with the Broncos and one with the Broncos.
He lost the Broncos because that was the one the Seahawks won.
Yes.
Yeah,
and it was bad. That's actually probably the worst Super Bowl I've ever seen.
Rams Patriots is the worst Super Bowl I've ever seen. Yeah. That is second, but also that was my first Super Bowl. So like as horrible, and I was in the press box right above the end zone where they safetied Peyton Manning.
Mm-hmm. Oof!
And I was like, oh, this is great. And I just met Hugh Jackman, who I'm a huge fan of. So I was like on cloud nine.
Yeah.
And like, everyone's like, oh, that Super Bowl is kind of shitty. I was like, yeah, I don't really care. Like I went and I got to like hang out with Hugh Jackman and Jennifer Garner. Like I'm chilling. I don't care. Like,
you're like, I had a good
time. Peyton Manning lost. So like I was, yeah.
That was a bad one though. I was bartending and the bar emptied. Like people were like, we're good. I mean, that's bad for a bar to empty out on Super Bowl Sunday. Oh boy. Okay, CJ, what's your number two?
Well, fun fact that Bears Colts Super Bowl was when I was visiting Chicago and deciding whether I wanted to move there or not. And I did.
Ooh, it was a big day for this marriage.
And then, yeah. So my number two was said as well, which is bound to happen on this stuff. So, I mean, again, I admit it, I don't know. I just don't have the great memory for a lot of Super Bowls. The 2015 one, it was, I mean, Roman numerals are, yeah, XLIX. So this would have been 39, 49?
No, XL.
Who played?
It was Seahawks Patriots, and this is just because the legendary, again, it came down to the last play. Should have ran it. They should have handed it off to Marshawn. Yeah. And as
this
a
was my number
one. Oh, okay, nice. Okay, because I was just picking it based on this play because I actually was very, very high in a hotel room in Denver, and I fell asleep from eating too much and woke up in my hotel room for this last play. And it was like, oh yeah, they're about to win it.
Yeah.
Hand it off to Marshawn. And then they threw it. And who intercepted it?
Malcolm Butler.
Yeah, Malcolm Butler. And that, for me, working in memes and sports, this was like pre-NBA Twitter what it is today. This was like the Warriors blew a 3-1 lead. Like it was always handed off to Marshawn, Malcolm Butler intercept. Like this was like sports Twitter at its peak back then. And so that's why I will say it's one of my favorite Super Bowl memories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I chose it as my number one. I mean, yes, there's personal reasons, but for me, I felt like, you know, any game that comes down to the last play and I just love the games where it comes down to that play and it's so controversial.
Yeah.
Like, it's so like, you just want to keep talking about it. You're like, what the fuck was he thinking? Like, why was it Marshall? You know? And like, as I was watching the highlights last night, and one of the highlights, literally in the beginning of the highlight, was Marshawn eating Skittles. And I just, Marshawn will go down in history as one of the coolest players to ever play football. But I thought that Seahawks team, I felt like for me, if I had, one of these days, you guys are going to have to do a podcast of like truly greatest like football teams of the 90s, of the 2000s. Yeah. That to me was one of the greatest teams to like full greatest teams to ever play football. Mm-hmm. I felt like that was one of them and they blew it.
Yeah.
I think that's why it's not one of my favorites, is because it was like so heartbreaking. And I like wanted Marshawn to like override the play, you know, like just so like even yesterday, I'm like, why can't Aaron Rodgers just tell you no and be like, no, bitch, we're not doing that.
Someone asked, like we were talking about on this call I got on today, and I got in and they were talking about Aaron Rodgers And I was like, yeah, I mean, people are going to be talking about that. Like, and personally, I felt like he always just ran the team. Like, why don't you just run up and say, I'm not kicking it on fourth and down. Like fourth down, this is it. You can't give the ball back to Brady with 2 minutes left. But I will say this. I know you guys already had greatest halftime performances, but I felt like Katy Perry's halftime performance in the Super Bowl was the greatest next to Beyonce's with Destiny's Child. I walked into the game. This was the one Super Bowl I didn't have to work. So my dad and I go into the tailgate and we got shamammered, and I managed to sneak a beer or two into the game, and I'm in like my nice suit, which was hysterical. And I don't even like remember part of the first half because I was so drunk. And also one of my friends, Adam Rank, he had actually had the seat next to me too. So it was just like a party. And then when Katy Perry come on, so it was controversial when you were there that it was like super foggy and all that stuff. Like I walked outside in Phoenix that day.
Oh, and yeah,
couldn't see
yeah.
anything. So everyone's like, oh, the thing isn't going to open up. And apparently Katy Perry's halftime performance was going to involve it. And then as soon as she sang Firework, no one knew that it had moved. And everyone looked up. It was like, oh my God. And it was just, that to me was part of the like craziness of it. And so when we're on that final drive of that game, and I think it was it Curse who had that catch, the crazy clown catch or whatever?
I can't remember.
Your guess is as good as ours.
Seahawks are driving, right? It's the final last couple plays of the game. And there's this crazy catch that's it's tipped, it's this and that, and it gets them in position. Mm-hmm. And basically between that play and the play at the very end in the stadium, no one knew who won. Wow. Literally no one knew who won. Like I was like, do you guys know what happened? Everyone's like, no. Like,
wow.
I wasn't at the side with the Jumbotron, so no one knew.
Wow.
Because the fog. Ask around.
Because the fog was that bad?
No, because it happened so quickly.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha.
It happened so quickly. And then all of a sudden, it's just like, wait, who won? And then all of a sudden, we see like the confetti pop out. I was like, oh, I think that's blue.
They're both blue.
I don't know. I had that experience with Paul George breaking his leg.
Oh, no.
And I don't know.
Oh, no.
And I don't know if this is the stadium, like a stadium thing, but cell phone reception was bad. And when it took everyone walking out to the parking lot for it to pop up on their phone. But I sort of know that feeling. And that's like, again, the kind of the con of being there is you don't get those replays. You don't get like, yeah, you kind of just like everyone's like asking
left
around.
Shark.
Yeah, left shark.
Left
yeah.
shark. I mean, left too. Shark is a cultural touchstone.
Yeah.
And I had 1,000 people text me and I walked out of the stadium and my sister's like, oh, left shark. Haha. I'm like, what the fuck is left shark?
No one knew left shark in the stadium because you needed the shot of the left shark just totally going rogue. I love left shark.
And this is why I stopped going to the All-Star games because I go for All-Star weekend. And then I started coming back. One, it's a lot of times it's your birthday. But because I like watching the game, and you can't really watch the games when you're in those press boxes. Mm-hmm. But I'm still very grateful that we've gotten to go to so much stuff like that.
Okay, let's take one last break, and then we'll be back with our number one picks.
Yeah.
Okay, we're back. Sorry, it's gotten a little...
No, this is great. I feel like we're sharing kind of like what it's like to be at these places.
I hope this is relatable content, guys. So now we will go around and do our number one
I don't have a
picks.
Number one.
You don't?
No.
Okay.
So and we're running long, so let's just skip mine.
Okay, well, my number one is the catch, like the David Tyree Giants over the Patriots. And yeah, that game was... The Patriots going into it were already deemed the greatest team of all time. They were 18-0 trying to match,
right? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Trying to match the 72 Dolphins, I believe. The Giants won road games in Tampa, Dallas, and Green Bay to be there. They had to go on the road for the entirety of the playoffs. It was the first time an NFC team had ever done that. And it was like the Patriots are winning. I mean, it's not that different than that Eagles one that I brought up earlier.
Yeah.
It's like the Patriots are in it. The Patriots are winning, especially against this wild card Giants team that was very, very unproven. At that point, it wasn't even just Eli Manning wasn't as good as his brothers. He wasn't as good as the rest of his draft class. Philip Rivers had better stats than him. Like
Drew Brees.
Yeah. that 2004 packed class, he just hadn't really proven himself in any way. I don't really think he has since. That's what's interesting. I mean, he's maybe the worst quarterback to win two Super Bowls. Maybe I'm putting something on him doesn't deserve.
But, you know, but I think he was really good. I think he was really good for just a short amount of time. And then his expiration date just expired, but no one knew about it. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I thought he was very like, you don't win a Super Bowl with a bad quarterback. I'm sorry. But I thought he was really good, but just for that really short amount of time. And then they just made him play quarterback just for namesake. Mm-hmm.
This was another game that was not good until not even the second half, the fourth quarter. There were 21 points scored in the fourth quarter, the Giants scoring 14 of them. And so it was pretty much a snooze until then. The Patriots were favored by 12, which seems...
Wow.
Pretty wild. Halftime show was Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. Cost of a 30-second commercial for this Super Bowl was $2.7 million. And at the time, it has been broken since at the time it was the most viewed Super Bowl of all time with 97.5 million viewers. And this Super Bowl was in 2008, my senior year of college. Was this right before the financial crisis? Probably. Kind of feels like, because it was the beginning of 2008. It really, that Super Bowl, I like remember watching it in my like college apartment. Like when I think back to 2008, that Super Bowl, I'm like, oh, that was a much simpler time. Our generation had not experienced what we have experienced now. And we've seen too much in the last 12 years. But February of 08, that was nice.
Yeah, I thought that was it for me. I couldn't decide between those two Patriots games. Mm. I actually rewatched longer highlights of the other Patriots Giants game, mostly because of the people that were in that one.
I was at that game. That was the one in Indianapolis,
2012.
Yeah,
And that was an amazing game. It really
Gronk. Gronk. You had Hernandez. Like
Jimmy Fallon.
You know,
on
for
the
everything
feet.
That happened to him, he was awesome when he did play, and when his when he was locked in, you know, into the game. And I think who else was? I mean, there were so many people in that game.
It was a very, very fun game. Madonna performed at the halftime. I think this one edges it out for me just because it was like, it felt truly David versus Goliath. Like it was like, oh, this is the best team ever. And this is like a team with a man with a red face who screams all the time. Like they just seemed kind of like, we didn't know any of them. Like, I still don't really even know David Tyree, but that catch is just burned in my memory, and them winning, it felt like a true release. But you're right. That other game was equally, if not better.
You know, it's hard to pick. It's hard to pick the greatest, right? You know, we only have 50 to choose from. But at the same time, like, what is great? You know, for me, I want a close game at the end. I mean, of course, I want a close game every single time, going back and forth. But you don't get to have that. But sometimes things like the catch outweigh it just being a close game the entire time, right? Like, what's great, because, like, honestly, like, watching that Falcons-Patriots game, I was like, okay, can someone else score? Like, can we just make it close, you know? And that's tough. But I think what was great was the comeback, because that was never been done. And that's what made it great. But like that game, that's why I was watching the highlights of that Patriots Giants game. I'm like, man, this was a really good game. Yeah. Like maybe this one has to be up there. I don't know.
Well, to your point, last year was really close, but it won't be as memorable as the catch or, you know, a lot of these comebacks. But like that was a solid game, like from start to finish. And I hope, whatever Mahomes ends up doing, we're like trying to figure out what makes these the greatest. But like solid game last year, and I do
solid
like,
game.
Yeah,
no one remembers anything that happened outside of the Chiefs winning.
Yeah, maybe we'll just do greatest solid games. I think that's a whole nother.
Well, and I guess what we've learned too is that that's the most you can hope for in a Super Bowl, like. This is not the matchup that I wanted to see coming up. Will it be exciting to see a true, like, passing of the guard? Is that what the phrase is? Passing of the torch? Oh. I don't know. You know, old versus young.
What I remembered is the other Super Bowl that Peyton Manning was in was against the Panthers in Super Bowl 50. And that was one of the worst Super Bowls ever.
Well, was he a factor?
Oh, that's when like the it was just the Broncos defense that won it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very
was,
clearly.
I mean, that's the one he won with the Broncos. And you're like, okay.
That
sure,
was boring
sure.
as hell. I remember Man. That.
I hope you guys did like a worse. Like, I hope when you guys were watching this, you guys were evaluating the worst Super Bowls of all time. I sadly had to live through that one too, like in person. And I was so excited, like in the office, everyone's like, oh, Coldplay is going to do halftime. And then everyone's like, really? Coldplay? And then they're like, just kidding. It's going to be Beyonce too. And Bruno Mars. And I was like, cool, Beyonce in person. Because it was a horrible stadium. It was a horrible setup. And then you're watching this crap game. I'm just like, oh, can we just.
This
like, was Bruno. What was the good Bruno? The Bruno won with.
Good Bruno was in New York for Seahawks. Seahawks Broncos.
Yeah, okay. They're both good to me, but I'm always trying to decipher or distinguish the two. So
I forget this second. Giants Patriots game that we're talking about, the one that was Indianapolis. I said it was Madonna. It was also LMFAO, MIA, Nicki Minaj, and CeeLo Green. And I guess I've forgotten. I remember LMFAO because I was like, next.
That's a good bill back then.
But everybody else, MIA, I didn't even realize MIA was there. I
feel like there was some controversy there about her performance. Maybe, I don't know if like she had been like banned from the States at the time, but.
Oh, yeah. Right. Okay. That would,
she just got real.
That
you
would
just turn
me that would sadly make up. Sense. Heather, what was your number one again? Remind
my number of? One was Seahawks Patriots.
Yeah. Okay.
And mine was Super Bowl Patriots Falcons. Oh,
any honorable mentions from you? Any games you feel like we missed?
No, I both Patriots Giants. I thought that was, you know, goes down as the one of the greatest, I think, Super Bowl rivalries of all time. Mm-hmm. But between that, Eagles, Patriots, those were kind of my solid six. And I didn't, honestly, I'd have to say this. After those Super Bowls that we talked about, excuse me, with the exception of the Bears, Colts ones, I don't really think that there's Super Bowls that are even close to those.
No. Mm-mm. Except for like these oldies that we.
Yeah. I feel bad that watch. We can't. Yeah. I feel bad we can't really speak to those.
Well, there's, I mean, I can tell you the number one on this NFL list, rankings. Yeah. And I hate to sound like a loser. It's in black and white. And I was like, sir, I don't know this. So this is Super Bowl 8. This is what they have as number one. Steelers 35, Cowboys 31.
I just remember the party it was at. And yeah, it wasn't very good.
This Super Bowl 8. So that had to be what, 1960?
Terry Bradshaw was MVP. There was a bad drop by Smith, pass interference call. So there was some a special teams fumble. So yeah.
Listen, if you watch that and you're mad it's not on our list, hit us up.
Yeah, let us know.
Send us a letter.
We said it. Super Bowl 8.
Well, there was that Steelers one, right? That Steelers Super Bowl.
I think that's this one. Isn't it?
The more recent one where.
Oh, yes. James Harrison.
Heinz Ward. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a 2005.
That's not going. That's six? Definitely not going to be on my list.
I definitely don't like rooting for Ben Roethlisberger, though.
No,
so.
I couldn't root for the Steelers if there was a gun to my
There's
head.
Always
honestly.
One guy on the team, though.
Juju. We all love
Paul
Juju.
Paul Amalu. No, I mean, this then. Team, okay. James Conner. Yeah, and Juju.
Okay, Heather, where can our listeners find you or find your work even?
We have my Instagram, HeatherPink27. Most of my stuff is on Pink Deer, LLC.
And
Instagram.
That's D-E-A-R.
D-E-A-R, yes. Even though my logo is like a deer, but that's the play on the words, yes. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, you know, we don't, I gotta say, like, we don't post a ton as even though we're in social media, like we're so focused on making sure everyone's okay. Like by the end of the day, sometimes like, oh yeah, I'm good. Like everyone else is happy.
That's
but, you know,
what, but no, like the, but then if you were the collection of all your clients, like that, we're not the publishers. This is what you gotta I gotta get through to people, which I'm sure you did in the beginning is like, no, we're not the destination. We're making everyone else the destination.
Mm.
Totally. You know, I think if anybody has social media, you know, big questions or need to figure out what they're doing or, you know, if they're in a stalemate or all those things, you know, that's what my thing is like always with even with medical, like go seek the professional, like no matter what you want in your life or what you're looking for, like seek the real professional that has real credentials out there and hire that person.
Oh,
you know, and I think for me, that's what we've always been. But like, if you're going to pay a doctor to tell you what's wrong, like, why are you not paying somebody else to tell you what's wrong with your social media if you make it your life or your business and you're spending X amount of hours a day on it. Like,
wow, you are our first guest to leave us with valuable advice.
Yeah,
truly. And we've done,
I guess I'm not a comedian.
40
so I mean,
plus of the, yeah, you're an actual person who has real things to say. And that's why sometimes valuable things come out of it. So thank you for that. I think that's a great nugget. I mean, I would hear comedians make that joke when Trump was running of like, people are like, he's from the, what, fuck him. He's gone.
See, if I make a joke like that, it doesn't come out like a joke. It makes me sound like an asshole. So I just don't
well,
make it.
I wish I hadn't even started to describe a joke that's not even relevant anymore. I'm an asshole. Okay, CJ, where can we find you?
At CJ Toledano on everything.
Okay, and I'm at Megan Gailey. And gosh, Heather, thank you so much for doing this. Thank you for being the greatest mind behind the bubble machine. And if it ever
that
comes
was too much fun.
If it ever comes back, Heather will be there. I promise. We're just busy bitches, you know?
Busy bitches.
So, all right. Thank you guys. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
The Greatest is a production of iHeartRadio.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.